of the Lord. Just do it. Amen. That's just like witnessing. Amen. We don't know what's going to happen. My wife and I, we make a habit, and when we're checking out a Walmart, amen, the cashiers or the greeters, that cashier, we just stop and talk to them. Just started loving on them and telling them about God. Because we don't know. The Bible tells us to go and preach the gospel to every creature. I don't know what's going to happen when I tell them. We've already started making a promise. When people say to us now, whether in Walmart or in the mall or whatever, and they say, will you pray for us or will you pray for my situation? Usually what we say, okay, we'll pray about it. Not us anymore. We've started saying, let's pray right now. We have to get into doing what God wants us to do right now. Who knows what God will do right now? So just get in the habit of doing it. Amen. When you're talking to somebody, tell them. Amen. His word will not return void. Just tell them what God's word says. Amen. Because he wants you to just do it. As the brother said, amen, with Jonathan and his armor bearer, Jonathan said, who knows what God will do? Right. Amen. Let's go. Let's try it out. Yeah. And they slew 20 men and a half an acre of land. And the Bible called that a great slaughter. Right. Amen. Who knows what God will do for us? So let's trust him. Let's do it. Amen. It is so good to be here. Amen. I love your pastor and pastor's wife and the assistant pastor's wife and all of you saints of the Most High God. Amen. We're serving a mighty God. Amen. And it is so good to be here. And thank you so much for letting us be with you. Amen. And what God is doing in these last days. So stay encouraged. Stay strong. Amen. And we'll see what God is going to do. To the book of John chapter 5 tonight. John chapter 5, and then we will go to chapter 20 after that. John chapter 5 and John chapter 20. Amen. John chapter 5, verse 1 through 16, and then we will go to John chapter 20, verse 30 and verse 31. John chapter 5, verse 1 through 16. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then was first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which saith unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done this thing on the Sabbath day. In John chapter 20, verse 30 and verse 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Amen. And I want to minister to you from this thought tonight. It's time to get off the porch. It's time to get off the porch. Father, we exalt you again. Lord, I know there is none like you, and I know that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all I could ever ask to think of thee. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, guide us. Show us the way tonight, O God, more perfectly clear. We need you, Lord. We need your directions. We need your wisdom. We need your knowledge. We need your understanding. Truly, you are a God, and there is none other. And we thank you again tonight for your people, Lord. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive your word. And we will glorify you continually in this place, in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It's time to get off the porch. John's gospel, as you begin to read John's gospel, you will realize that some says that John's gospel is probably the most deepest and profound gospel there is when it comes to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Some say that John's gospel was written somewhere between 85 and 100 AD. And so, therefore, when you begin to read John's gospel, John doesn't open his gospel with the genealogy as the other gospel writers does. John, at this point, is down the road, and he sees there's no need to go to that standpoint or to open that gate again to talk about the lineage of Jesus Christ, because at this point the church should already understand the lineage of Jesus Christ. And so John begins his gospel by bringing us into an understanding of who Jesus Christ is. He immediately opens his gospel with it this way: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light, that true light which lighted every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received them not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, which was born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John realizes that if he's going to get us to realize the meaning in what he has planned, then we have to know who Jesus Christ is, because everything flows from the knowledge of the understanding of who he is. Amen. Even Jesus turned to his disciples and says, who do they say I, the Son of Man, am? Amen. That question begins to ruminate to you and I. If we never know who Jesus is, it's not going to flow right in our lives. We must know who he is. Amen. He wants us to know, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you must love him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. So John has written his gospel to somewhat like a playwright. In other words, John wants you to insert yourself inside of the scriptures. When you read the book of John, you find that constantly he uses phrases like a certain woman or a certain man. And I believe he does that is because he wants us to put ourselves in the scripture to see how it really fits into our lives, to see if we're in this situation or if we're in this circumstance, and it will give us an opportunity to see how Jesus dealt with that situation then, so that we will realize that he will deal with our situation the same way. So John opens and gives us a picture of the creation. And then in John chapter 2, as I said this morning, he takes us to a marriage. And Jesus' mother is there, and they fill the water pots, and he says to them, draw out and bear to the governor of the feast. Amen. He's drawing you and I to let us know that there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb, and you're going to be invited. But in order to be invited, you've got to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. He wants you to come to the wedding. Amen. There's going to be a marriage lamb supper that's going on, and so he wants you to be at the wedding. Then in the third chapter of John, you notice the Bible began that says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with them. Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter into his mother's womb the second time and be born again? Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again of the water and the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind blow where it lists, if you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes and where it goes, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Amen. He goes on with Nicodemus. Notice, he brings us to a situation like a campfire, and he's there with us, and he wants us to be at the campfire. Amen. And listen to how Jesus is teaching about the new birth, to give you and I instructions and directions that if a man is not born again of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Then John picks us up and he ushers us over to the fourth chapter. And the Bible begins in the fourth chapter, but letting you and I know that Jesus had need to go through Samaria. And he came to a parcel of ground where Jacob had given to Joseph his son. And Jesus sat on the well. Isn't it unique? You got one well sitting on top of another well. Amen. And there came a woman of Samaria unto him, came to the well to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. She said unto him, how is it you being a Jew ask me a Samaritan for a drink? You know we have no dealings. Jesus said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that said unto thee, give me the drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. Are you thirsty tonight? You see, John is trying to draw us. He's trying to get us to see what God really wants to do. And those little four chapters to start with, he opens our understanding as to who God is. He talks about the new birth experience. He shows us, amen, how God is willing to go out to seek and to save that which is lost, amen, and to bring us and give us clarity of understanding so that we can go and do likewise as his children. Amen. You see, we need to realize the goodness and the mercy and the severity of God. And when you have the knowledge and the understanding of God, you should move. You should begin to do the things that God is calling you and I to do. When Paul encountered Jesus in Acts chapter 9, immediately notice what Paul says, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" That should be every one of our cry as soon as we are baptized in Jesus' name. As soon as we come into a relationship and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our cry should be, "Lord, what will you have me to do? God, what ministry do you want me to work in? God, what do you want me to tell people? God, how do you want me to be involved in the kingdom of Almighty God?" God has a purpose. And so John is trying to usher us, to give us a clear understanding of who God is, so that we can work according to the truth of the gospel. Praise God. And then John takes us to the fifth chapter. And in the fifth chapter, he draws us to a pool. And in the pool, he says, there's five porches. And on those porches lay impotent folks. Amen. When a person is impotent, he is without power and he's without abilities. He says they're blind. Paul says, if this gospel is hid, it is hid to them who is lost, and whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Christ should be revealed unto them. They are held. They are crippled. They can't walk. And then he goes on and said, they're withered. They're decaying. And they're waiting for the moving of the water. Because of a season, an angel went down and troubled the water. And whosoever was first to get into the water was made completely whole. And it was three times of the year that the Jewish men had to go to Jerusalem for the feast. There was three feasts that they was required every man to go to. The first was the Passover. That was to commemorate the children of Israel being delivered. The other was Pentecost, the giving of the law in the wilderness, and then the tabernacle of wilderness to commemorate God's pavilion in the wilderness. And so is at one of these feasts now that Jesus goes up to the market at Jerusalem, and here's all these impotent folks laying on the porch, amen, in Jerusalem. Can you imagine laying there with no help, laying there waiting for the moving of the water, trying to be the first to get in? And Jesus sees this man. He's been in his condition for 38 years. Amen. And Jesus goes to him and said to him, "Will you be made whole?" And he says to him, "Lord, or sir, I have no man to help me." He says, "When the water is troubled, I am coming. But before I get there, someone else steps in first." Can you imagine 38 years of being disappointed because you get there and somebody else beats you to the punch? 38 years of wishing and hoping that this would be your first time to be healed of what disease might have been transpired in your life. 38 years, amen, of crawling around trying to get there. Amen. 38 years is not a short period of time to be laying on the porch. 38 years is not a short time, amen, to be in a condition which was caused by sin. You see, sin will cripple you. Sin will bind you. Sin will torment you. Sin will hold you hostage. Sin will make you wish that you have never been born. Sin will cause you to commit suicide. Sin will make you lie, cheat, rob, and steal. Sin will make you hide yourself from an almighty God. Sin will make you weep and cry and sob uncontrollably. Sin will cause you to violate your character. Sin will paralyze you. Can you realize here that here's a man for 38 years because of his sin having to crawl on a porch trying to be the first one to get to the pool to be healed of his condition. 38 years. I read this and this man would have been there at least 5 to 6 to 7 years before Jesus was ever born. Think about it. 38 years, amen, of being tormented and hearing and crying of people trying to be whole. 38 years, amen, of trying to wish that I wished I was not in this circumstance and in these conditions. 38 years. But Jesus goes to him out of all the people and says to him, "Will thou be made whole?" And he says, "Sir, I have no man to help me, because when I'm coming, someone else beat me to the water." And Jesus said unto him, "Take up your bed and walk." And immediately he was made completely whole and took up his bed. And notice where he went. He went straight to church. I come to tell you today, you need to find your place in the church. You need to get rooted and grounded in the church. And not let sin get into your life, because sin will cripple you. Sin will hold you hostage. Sin will prevent you from being able to do what God wants you to do. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulteries, nor effeminates, nor abusers with themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you've been washed, but you've been justified, but you've been sanctified by the Spirit in the name of our God. We need to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you unto myself, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Do you need to be made whole? I come to tell you tonight, it's time to get off the porch. You've been laying on those lies that the devil keeps telling you over and over. That lie that the devil tells you that you're not good enough to serve God, that you've made mistakes. But I've come to tell you tonight, there's a God who with his angels watches over you. There's a God who with his angels puts your enemies beneath your feet. You've got a God who's with you when you're sick and when you're feeling well. You've got a God, and that God will never fail. His name is Jesus. He wants you off the porch. You've been laying on the porch too long. He wants you to get committed to the things of Almighty God. See, you've been laying on that porch of uncommitment too long. It's time to get committed to the things of God. If you realize there's one I in the word commitment, and that's you. Amen. Without you, you're never going to be committed. You have to take a step away from yourself. The Bible says a just man is satisfied from himself. You've got to take a step away from you if you're going to get off the porch. You see, to get off the porch, you can't be pretending to be a Christian. You've got to be the real deal. Amen. You've got to be the real act, amen, of what you say that you are. to get off the porch, you have to abstain from all appearance of evil. To get off the porch, you've got to resist temptation. To come off the porch, you've got to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. If you're going to get off the porch, you've got to be a hearer of God's word and do what it tells you to do. For as many as you has been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you're all one and Christ. And if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and your heirs according to the promise. It's time to get off the porch. You see, you're going to a better place. Don't lay there. Amen. The Bible says, lift up your hands that hang down and the feeble knees. When you don't feel good, you're just the enemy trying to put you back on the porch. You need to get up and you need to begin to worship God, for he has given you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that you might be called trees of righteousness, the planet of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy, and do it forever. Let the house of Israel now say, his mercy, and do it forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, that his mercy, and do it forever. Let them that fear him now say, that his mercy, and do it forever. I cried unto the Lord, David said, in my distress, and he heard me, and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. We have a God that is with us, and God don't want you on the porch. He don't want you to be discouraged. That did not come with your salvation. Beloved, I am persuaded of better things of you, things that accompany salvation, though we doth speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown to his name, and you have ministered to the saints, and do minister. And we require every one of you to show the same diligence to the fullness of the hope unto the end. Because when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, said, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so if he patiently endured, he received the promise. See, the enemy wants you to sit there. He don't want you to come to church when you don't feel good. He don't want you to come to church when you're going through bad things in your life. See, he wants you to be on the porch of despair. He wants you to sit at home and sing gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. But no, you got to lift up holy hands. You got to begin to magnify the Lord. You got to begin to call unto the Lord and say, oh, I want to see him. I want to look upon his face. Dare to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. See, he's giving you a garment of praise, Isaiah said, for the spirit of heaviness, that you might be called a tree of righteousness, the planet of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So when you're going through things in your life, don't focus on it. Worship God. Magnify the Lord. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hills, because his ways is not our ways and his thoughts is not our thoughts. Paul says in Romans 6 that we are risen to walk in newness of life, because God says in John 10:10, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they may have life, and that more abundantly. You see, an abundant life is a separated life. Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. You are to be set apart for the master's use. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You've got to have the mind of Christ. You see, a separated life and an abundant life is a servant's life. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. You see, it's a service life. We must serve the Lord with all our heart, with all our minds, with all our strength. Don't lay on that porch of I can't do anything for God. It's time to get off the porch. Jesus wants to know, do you want to be made whole? You've got to get up. You've got to get off the porch of lies. You can lay there or you can stand on truth. Praise God. It's time to get off the porch. Do you want to be made whole? Sir, I have no one to help me. He didn't ask him that. He asked him a simple question. Do you want to be made whole? The answer is yes or no. Amen. And Jesus says, take up your bed and walk. And immediately, he got up and he walked. I come to tell you today, it's time to get off the porch. Amen. The woman with the issue of blood, she says, if I can but touch him, I know I will be made completely whole. And she got her opportunity to touch him. And when she touched him, notice the Bible doesn't say she was healed. It says she was made completely whole because she had already faith and said, if I can touch him, I will be made whole. So when she touched him, she was made completely whole. You see, I can look at you and say, well, you need physical healing. But really, you might have a mental condition. You see, because when you're going through things in your life, it will plague your mind. Amen. And when your mind is plagued, you can't think right. You can't do things right. You make mistakes. You begin to think you're not good enough. Amen. You think you did something wrong. And no, just like the blind man, when they asked Jesus who sinned, that this man was born blind, he says, no, that the glory of God might be revealed. Amen. Your situation might be just for the glory of God to be revealed. So don't look at yourself as did something wrong, but look at yourself as being used by the Savior to glorify his name in this earth. Amen. So you see, she began to say, if I can just touch. You see, her condition and those days would have prevented her from going to church. So she would have had a spiritual deficiency because she wouldn't have been able to hear the word of God. But now that she's completely whole, amen, she can worship, she can go to church, she can do the things that she did before, amen. But she had to get off that porch. What porch are you laying on? What porch are you laying on? I come to tell you tonight, it's time to get off the porch. When they asked Peter, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What many other words did he testify and exalt, saying, save yourselves from this untowards generation. Amen. You've got to take a step, amen, to get away, to get off the porch. God wants you off the porch. He don't want you laying on that porch. You've been laying there long enough. It's time to get up and get off the porch. You've got to make up your mind. I'm not laying on it anymore. I'm taking up my bed and I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk out of here in victory. I'm going to walk out of here in newness of life. I'm going to go out of here shouting and praising my God from this day forth. He has set me free. As the songwriter said, once like a bird in prison I dwelt. No freedom for my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me. And glory to God, he set me free. He set me free. Yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound. My Jesus to see. Glory to God, he set me free. Let's stand tonight. Praise God. It's time to get off the porch. Hallelujah. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you may have life through his name. Amen. If you've been laying on some porch, I don't know what porch you've been laying on. Maybe it's a negative doctor's report. I don't know. But whatever porch, maybe you feel you are not good enough. Maybe you've been laying on the porch of commitment. You're uncommitted to the things of God. Maybe years ago, God called you to the ministry. And you made a mistake and you feel like you're not good enough to do it. Well, see, to get off that porch, you know what you got to do? Is you need to go to your pastor and you need to sit down with him and let him give you instructions and let him give you directions and let him give you advice and commit yourself to your pastor and says, Pastor, I want you to help me to get back to what God has called me to do. Because if not, you're going to lay on that porch. And the enemy is going to keep tormenting you and beating you up. And you're never going to feel like you're good enough for what God has called you to do. Amen. Maybe you've made a mistake. But that's the uniqueness of what we do. We repent. We ask God to forgive us for the sin or the wrong we've done. And we move forward. We don't wait and stay there when we know where the answer is. Amen. He's made a way of escape. And that's to run unto him. God is our refuge. And God is our strength. He's a very present help in the times of trouble. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they're safe. The things that are written afore was written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scripture, would have hope. That's why Paul, in the Romans chapter 8, he said, there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin to condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, which walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit, and they that of the flesh the things that are the flesh. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But notice what he said, but you are not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. But if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead be in you, he that raised up Jesus was also quickening your mortal bodies by the same Spirit Brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to do the things of the flesh. We're indebted to God. You see, we're indebted to God. For as many as led by the Spirit, we're the sons of God. Don't let the devil sell you short. Your birthright is very important. God has given you a birthright. Don't give it up. Amen. Don't see your birthright as not being important right now. You see, God has got a purpose for every life. That's why he has called you out of darkness to his marvelous light. Amen. To use you for such a time as this. Don't lay on the porch. If you made a mistake, if you have sinned, repent. Ask God to forgive you. Go sit down with your pastor. Get some direction, your pastor's wife. Get some directions so that you can accomplish what God wants to do to keep you off the porch. Amen. Church for a born-again believer should be the most exciting thing. Amen. You should be seizing every opportunity to do something for the kingdom of God. Get off that porch that you're not good enough. Notice what Jesus says. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. But he commanded us to tell them. So you've got to get off the porch, not thinking you're not good enough to tell them. I'm looking for some new commitments tonight. Men and women and boys and girls that will say, I'm getting off the porch and I'm going to serve God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul from this day forth. Amen. Let's come.